The first one established with a clear-cut picture of Christ without question was the Passover lamb. The Passover lamb was taken on the 10th of Nisan and put in a pen and kept penned up for 5 days. And on the 5th day in the evening, on the 14th of Nisan, the whole congregation of Israel, each one selecting a lamb for their house, would kill the lamb in the evening. On the 10th of Nisan, the Lord Jesus Christ made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And they cried out, "Behold the King!" And they spread palm leaves before him. And they said, "Behold the King of Israel, who cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna." And they chose their lamb. On the 10th of Nisan, just as the Old Testament sacrifice of the Passover lamb was made on the 10th of Nisan, Israel chose their lamb on the 10th of Nisan. And on the 14th of Nisan, in the evening, they killed their lamb. God painted a picture in the Old Testament of the wonder of Christ in the New. If God hadn't done this, we might have reason at times to doubt. But God went to great meticulous trouble to make it plain what he intended to do before he did it. A lamb's a marvelous thing. It's tender, it's innocent, it's beautiful. And I think that's why God chose the animal. Watch the lamb. A long time ago, God made a man to fellowship with him. And God was in fellowship with that man, and the man had not sinned, and his name was Adam. And then God gave him a helpmeet, a companion, and Adam's joy was full and complete, and he had Eve. He made Eve, and Adam and Eve fellowshiped together with God. Adam loved Eve more than he loved God, and Adam made a deliberate choice. And Adam sinned. Fellowship was broken with God, and the characteristic that Adam inherited was passed on to all of us from birth. Before Genesis 3, 9, and 10, Adam and God and Eve were in perfect fellowship. There was joy and love and compassion and spiritual happiness. But after the sin, Adam inherited a new nature, which he passed on to all of us. Genesis 3, 9, and 10. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." We are born with an inherited character that tries to hide from God. And all God has ever wanted is for us to come out from behind what we are and admit before God we're out of fellowship with him. We're spiritually defunct. We have to have a Savior, and God's the only one who can provide. When we come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, we accept God's terms for the reconciliation of fellowship. And when we receive his Son as the sacrifice, we don't have to be afraid anymore, because God has restored fellowship with us through his Son, and we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, forever and ever. Because Adam and Eve could not undo what they had done, because they could not make up for what they had done, in the same chapter in Genesis 3:21, we're told what God did. Man can't do anything to reconcile himself to God. Man can't make it right with God, because man is born with a sin nature that is inherently self-centered and separated from God and not like God. God has to implant in man his very nature, and it's up to God to do it. And the only way God will do it is when we come to him, trusting him to provide for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Reconciliation to the Father through the Son. In verse 21 in Genesis 3, we find what God did. "And Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them." We don't know what these animals were. I would speculate, and I think it's a reasonable speculation, that they were sheep, that they were lambs, because that's commonly what in olden times people would make coats of, particularly in the early part of Genesis. And I have a strong suspicion that regardless of what these were, I have a suspicion that they were lamps. In any case, they were a covering. God made a covering so that Adam and Eve could cover their bodies and at least feel no longer naked before Him. God provided the covering. Animals had to die to pay for that. Innocent animals. The animals didn't sin. They didn't have a soul like Adam. God didn't breathe into their nostrils the breath of life, and they didn't become a living soul like Adam. They were different, but they were innocent. And so God began a long series of teachings to man to show him that the only true redemption has to be by blood, and that God Himself was the only one who could provide it. And God did this all by Himself, just like Jesus did it all by Himself at Calvary. In Genesis 4, 3 through 5, we see the pattern established, which painted a picture, a beautiful picture, of the innocent lamb who one day would ascend Calvary. Genesis 4, 3 through 5, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. There was nothing wrong visibly with his offering. Probably it looked a lot more attractive than the one that Abel brought. But God said, this is the type you bring. What was Adam's sin? Disobedience. What's going to restore us to God? Obedience. What is obedience to God? It's coming to God, God's way. God established in Genesis 3:21 the way you should come. You should come through the sacrifice of an innocent one for you. Through substitution, your sins being taken by something else, and blood being shed as the price that God could allow Himself to justly forgive you of the disobedience which you are born in your own nature. God doesn't send people to hell. People send themselves to hell because they won't trust God's way. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock. He brought lambs and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Why? Because God established the pattern in Genesis 3:21. The sacrifice of innocence and the sacrifice of blood for sin. These animals didn't have sin, but man did. But none of these animal sacrifices and none of this blood ever took away one sin. But if a person believed that one day God would send a deliverer, and that somehow that deliverer would save them from what they were by birth and nature, that man could be eternally reconciled to God. So why did Abel go to heaven? Because Abel did what God said and trusted in God to provide the salvation. And Abel didn't realize it. But Abel was saved by Jesus Christ, even though he never heard of Him. Because when Christ suffered and bled and died at Calvary, and His blood trickled down the cross, and His flesh took our sins in His own body, as He hung there dying alone, Abel didn't know it, but that's what Abel was picturing with the sacrifice of an innocent lamb. And because God believed, because Abel believed that some way God would save him, he was obedient to God. And God saved him because he did it God's way. Hell's going to be full of people that tried to work their way to heaven or to get there on their own terms in their own way. But there's only one way, God's way. Watch the Lamb. It's always been through the Lamb. But unto Cain and his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Was God unfair to Cain? No. Immediately thereafter he said, Cain, try again. Get it right and it'll be fine. But Cain was stubborn. He didn't like God's way, and he never did do it right. Revelation 13:8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. There is coming a time when a ruler, an Antichrist, will come claiming to be the Messiah, and most of the religious world will accept him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. This thing that God did in offering those animal sacrifices as a picture, and throughout the entire Old Testament, the millions and millions of lambs and other types of animals that were innocent that were sacrificed, this is not something God thought up on the spur of the moment. Before God ever made Adam, God decided and decreed in his own mind and heart, I'm going to create a being to have fellowship with me, and I'm going to give that being a free will choice to decide whether or not he wants to fellowship with me. Well, Adam was created by God. God is God, and there is none other like him. And God knows all things, past, present, and future. And God knew the choice that Adam would make. But you see, if God had not gone ahead and made Adam, then it would never have been a free will choice. If God had looked down and seen what Adam would do and said, okay, I've changed my mind, I won't give him a choice. But God knew what he would do. And God made a plan whereby any man, any woman who inherits Adam's sin can immediately and instantly be restored to everlasting fellowship with him if they will receive the blood sacrifice of his son and the torn flesh and the offering of Christ as the only way they can be reconciled to fellowship with him. The moment you come to Christ to be accepted of the Father because of what you are by birth and nature, the Father lovingly receives you because you have received his Son and you have trusted in the only sacrifice that ever took away sin. 1 Peter 1:18 through 25. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The lamb was selected from the flock. It was without blemish and it was without spot. And the lamb, innocent, loving, no ill will toward anyone, was sacrificed. Christ deliberately, purposely, and with forethought assumed the position that all the Old Testament sacrifices had pictured, from the very one that God made to cover the sin of Adam and Eve. All those pictured him. And everyone who ends up in heaven, from Abel to David to Moses to Enoch to you to myself, is going to be saved by the same blood, whether it was pictured as coming, whether it was pictured as being here, or whether we look back on it now as the sacrifice for our sin. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. This was not a sudden idea with God. He knew the choice what Adam would make, but he had to do it because even knowing the choice he would make, it would never have been free will if God had not let him make that choice. But God, being merciful and just and fair and loving and kind and forgiving and passionate, foreordained that knowing his choice, he would give all men a choice. And all men today have the same choice that Adam had. Do I want to have fellowship with God forever? Do I want to be eternally restored to fellowship? And do I want my life and my heart set right with God? Then you've got to do it God's way. And the only way is through Jesus. And the only way is through his sacrifice and his blood and his offering. There is no other way. You cannot trust in yourself or anything else. You have to trust in Jesus. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest, made visible in these last times for you. Now it's evident. Now we know who the Lamb pictured. Now we know the man. Now we have no excuse. There never was really an excuse because God winked at their ignorance. But today we have no excuse because we know who the Lamb is and we know what he did at Calvary for us. Who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. When your faith and hope is in the sacrifice that Christ made at Calvary and God's resurrection power and Christ risen from the dead, when your faith is in that Lamb who's alive forevermore, you have salvation. You're eternally restored. I want you to notice what he says next. Seeing ye have purified your souls. This was an action that had already occurred. It was something that had occurred when they obeyed the truth. What is the truth? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Through the Spirit, God's convicted your heart at one time in the past. At some time in the past, you saw yourself as lost, as a sinner, as helpless. You needed a Savior. And you came to Christ, and he purified your soul. He's the only one who can. This is past tense. He said, ye have. Already happened. The ones to whom he was writing this had already obeyed the truth. They had done it God's way. They had come through the Son. The Spirit had convicted them, and now they had the Spirit living in them. And why did God do that? Unto unfeigned love of the brethren. I can't love any of you the way God loves, except by the Spirit that God implanted there when I trusted in His Son. I've been born again. I have Christ inside me. See that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. We can't love one another as God loves from our natural birth. We have to have God's Spirit within us, and we have to yield to God's Spirit in order to love one another. God's love is an unconditional love. It's a love that's given, a love that forgives, not based on how many times you sin, but based on the blood of Christ and His work. And the blood of Christ forgives you of all unrighteousness, and there is no sin that you can ever commit once you have trusted in His blood, that His blood will not cleanse, that His blood will not forgive. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Being born again by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Some 52 years ago, I simply, sitting in a church, I could have been anywhere, heard the truth and realized that that man who died at Calvary died for me. And I came to him and trusted him to save me from what I am by birth and nature, an ungodly, wretched sinner, completely out of fellowship with God. And God put me in spiritual union with himself through the Son. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, will he ever leave you or forsake you? The Bible says no. Do you ever get out of fellowship with him? Yes, I do. What do you do when that happens? The Bible says we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I confess my sins day by day, moment by moment, week by week, year by year. And God cleanses and forgives me of my sins as I confess them. Would I go to hell if I didn't confess a sin just before I died? God forbid. When Christ died at Calvary, the Lamb died for the condition that I have by birth. I'm a natural liar. I'm a natural luster. I'm a natural sinner. And I had to have a Savior because from birth I have been a sinner. In the flesh I'm still a sinner, but by the grace of God I've been restored by the sacrifice of the Lamb. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof fadeth away. When we're young and full of vinegar, somehow we feel we will live forever. Even though we know we won't, we feel that we will. But there's only one thing that lasts forever, and that's God's spoken word and God himself. Men can make you all kind of promises. Women can make you all kind of promises, and they cannot keep them forever because they die. Christ died for our sins, took our sins in his own body on the tree, and when we come to him, we have a promise from him, and that promise is eternal life. He told the scribes and Pharisees who were trying so hard to get to heaven while they weren't making it, he said, and you will not come to me that you might have life. That's the word of God. But the word of God endureth forever. It's the only thing that lasts because it's spoken by someone who lives forever, and therefore he can keep whatever promise is made. And this is the word which by the gospel, the good news, is preached to you. The good news is there's a solution to your problem. You're a born sinner. You've got to have a sacrifice before God before you can be united with him. If you want to spend eternity separated in hell from him, it's your choice. But if you want to be restored to fellowship with God, you've got to come to God through Christ. And the good news is Jesus died, paid the price for all your sins. And when you come to him, he forgives you completely because he's the only one who could. Ephesians 1:3-7 and 2 Peter 3:7-9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, God knew that Adam would sin. But he had to let it happen because God gave him a free will choice. And if God had said, well, he's going to sin anyway, I'll just make him where he can't sin, God could have. But God wanted him to have a free will choice. So God, knowing his free will choice, made a solution so that all men and women would have the right to be restored to fellowship with God forever if they so desire. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. It was God's choice that every man who would come to Christ would be saved. And he chose for all men to be saved, not just some. Before the foundation of the world, he decreed, any man that comes to my Son, the blood will cover all his sins. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, hagiso, set apart, and without blame before him in love. The only way you can go before God and be considered holy and without blame is based on the love of God in Christ Jesus. That's the only way you can stand before him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so if you come to Christ and trust him, God gives you eternal salvation. He restores you to fellowship, and he will never again leave you nor forsake you. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, it was God's predestined will that all men who would come to his Son would be immediately restored to fellowship, forgiven from what they were by nature and by birth, and all their sins be forgiven. When Christ was crucified, he was crucified for the sins of all the Old Testament saints. He was crucified for all the sins of the New Testament saints. He was crucified for all men and those who come to him and claim what he was crucified for receive eternal life in him. And that was God's plan, so that each man might have a free will choice as to whether or not to fellowship with him according to the good pleasure of his will. It was God's will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. It's God that did the making, it's God that did the doing, and it's God that did the accepting. But he's only going to accept you one way, in the beloved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only beloved Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's grace. That's what I praise him for. If there were anything you could do, or ever could do, or ever could have done, it would not be by God's grace and mercy, and you would make yourself acceptable to God. That is impossible. In the condition in which you're born, you can't. You just have to trust Jesus to do what's impossible for you to do, and that's faith. In whom we have redemption. I don't have to wonder whether or not I'm going to heaven. That's a condition, he said, in whom? In Christ. We have redemption. Paul said, I have it right now. You have it right now, writing to the church at Ephesus. How is it accomplished? Through his blood. Not through your works, not through your efforts. Through the sacrificial Lamb of God. The last thing in that song, when he told the children, he looked at the cross and he said, watch the Lamb. Because in the Lamb is the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. That's your Savior. He's there for you to claim. He's there for you to come to. He's alive. He's the only sacrifice in all the sacrifices, Old and New Testament, that ever came back to life. And because he lives, you can have eternal life in him. Now let's take a look at 2 Peter 3, 7 through 9. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. What does it mean to be godly? It means to be in union with God. And it also has a meaning to be in fellowship with God. What does it mean to be ungodly? It means to be not connected with God. So are these men going to hell because they're just naturally born mean? No, they're going to hell because they would not become godly men by coming to God and letting him share his spirit with them. And they deserve everything they get because God gave each one a free will choice. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. To God, Christ was crucified 2 days ago, relatively speaking. Time means nothing to God. Many people today are scoffing and say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were. He said, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. Why? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So what's been the problem from the very beginning? And what has the Lamb been trying to get across to us? And what have all these sacrifices been trying to picture? Adam was afraid. and he hid from the Lord. What did God want from Adam? He wanted Adam to say, "Lord, I sinned. God, be merciful to me, a sinner." That's why the publican was justified rather than the Pharisee who was doing all these righteous works. And the publican would not look up to heaven. He was so embarrassed of what he was. And he said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." God saved that publican. He went down to his house justified. Why? All God's ever wanted for us to come out and admit that we're wrong and to admit that we're not right and that he is, and to come to him seeking what he alone can do for us, give us a new spirit, a new heart, a new way of life, and restore us to fellowship with him. That's why the Lamb came. That's why the Lamb died. It's because God loves us. Paul, in Acts 20:27, said, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." I want you to notice what Paul indicated in verse 21 in Acts 20:21. What he testified God wants from each one of us in order to be eternally saved and united with him. Repentance toward God. It means that you look in your own heart and your own life and you see that you're not like you should be, that somehow or other you're not in the right relationship with God. You have a fear of God, you fear hell, you feel his condemnation, and you're walking along a certain way, and your life's not right with God, and you know it. And you don't feel that spiritual union with God. You don't enjoy his word, you're afraid of him, you tried to hide from him all the time. This means suddenly you turn toward God. And you say, "God, forgive me. Lord, forgive me." And then, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You put all your faith in what God spent chapter after chapter, book after book in the Old Testament, picturing through all the sacrifices, would one day come to take away sin forever. You put all your faith in the Lamb. John's voice thundered across the Jordan as he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." I know I'm saved. Why? I'm standing here, 64 years old, and my heart has never stopped crying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm sorry, Lord, for what I am." And all my faith is in Christ. Can you say that all your faith is in Christ? Can you say that you've come to the Lamb and you've trusted Christ to save you? This is not complicated. Never was meant to be complicated. And as Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, in 2 Corinthians 11:3, he said, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds could be corrupted from the simplicity," and that word means singleness, "that is in Christ." Today on this earth, we have a lot of different ideas about religion. Some people say you have to be baptized. Some people say you have to speak in tongues. Some people say you have to take communion every Sunday. Some people have a multiplicity of ways of telling you how to get saved and how to stay saved. But right there is salvation. The Lamb. Total and complete. You come to him, trusting him to save you from what you are by birth and by nature, and he saves you. If you want to be saved this morning, and you've listened to this and you've observed it on screen, and God's made you aware you need a Savior, there's one thing that God leaves up to you, and that's the coming to him. And you've got to come to him inside, where you internalize and where you think and where you feel and where the seat of your emotions and your thinking and all that make up your reasoning is located, the real you inside. And when you come to Jesus trusting him to save you from what you are and ask him to save you, there is no power that can stop you from being saved. This morning, if God's dealt with your heart, watch the Lamb. As Johnny comes, as the pianist comes, I've shown you God's Word. As the lights are turned on, I've shown you God's Word. The rest is a personal matter between you and his Spirit. You need a Savior, it's the Lamb. you come to Christ trusting Him to take away your sins and to make you whole. And if you realize you can't do it yourself, you just come to Jesus. He'll take care of all that. What number, John?
378.
Please stand. 378.